when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the Blood River Radio program. I'm joined today by co-host Monica Schaefer and our guest, Mr. Paul Fromm. And before we went to that top of the hour break, we were discussing how the Jewish Zionists have set out and pretty much succeeded in destroying family, country, and God, our faith. And we talked a little bit about the family and the country, but I just wanted to comment about the God part. In my opinion, Satan's spirit is alive and well all over the planet today. I think that's pretty evident to anybody that just take a little second look around. But what I really wanted to say is there's very little real gospel preached in this country today. I want to say that again. Very little real gospel is preached in this country today. Because if you preach the real gospel, the synagogue of Satan, they're going to come after you with everything they got. They're going to shut you down. They're going to call you all them ugly names, hater, hate speech. You know the whole deal that they throw at you. And the church, for the most part in this country, has been normalized. They've let in pretty much every abomination that the scripture talks about known to our God. They've allowed it. They've promoted it. People have embraced it. And it's just really sickening. But the good news is the king is coming back one day. I don't know exactly when. I do believe it's probably sooner than later, but he's coming back one day. And he's going to straighten things out. So with that said, I'm going to turn it back over to Monica, Sister Monica. And I think we're going to change gears a little bit. And when she's ready, she can bring Brother Fromm back in. Go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. I want to make some comments. There were the three main aspects that Paul brought up that the Jews have been attacking. Like you say, the family and patriotism and our faith. So religion, God, our faith in God. And, you know, it's interesting that when I started to wake up to what is really going on in this world, that's when I recalled what they taught us in school about communist Soviet Union times. And I mean, we got a very sanitized education about communism. But one thing that they did tell us truthfully was that they forbade people to go to church or to have a religion. And I, even at that time when I wasn't particularly, I mean, I was raised Catholic and I was, you know, brought up in going to Catholic church and in a Catholic school, but I wasn't feeling particularly religious myself, but I still wondered, what's the harm in allowing people to go to church? And I didn't really understand why they forbade it, you know, a faith, a religion. And then many years later, when I started to learn what really was going on in Soviet Union and the murder and torture of tens of millions of people, and the forbidding of religion, and the, you know, just basically crushing people's ability to practice their, like, their faith, that then I started to wake up and have a grand awakening, like a capital A awakening, to that there is a creator, that there is God. And because I started to realize, oh, they crushed all that because they know that if people don't have a faith in God, first of all, they can be manipulated by fear. And they, also this faith in something bigger than ourselves becomes, I guess, replaced by, you know, the government, the tyranny of, you know, whatever government is in place. Like, so, I mean, it's very much more, I think, complex than that. I'm just basically summarizing how that went for me. So that is a very important element that they, the Jews, are endeavoring to kill our faith. And in the Soviet Union, they burned down the churches, they killed and tortured the priests and nuns. Here they've done it differently. They've emptied the churches differently by insinuating themselves as imposters into the churches. I do believe that they've infiltrated all the organized religions and emptied the churches by creating scandals and just all kinds of things like that. So they've emptied the churches here differently. So that's my comment on that. Now, we could talk for a whole program about the attack on family, and we've touched on it many times, you know, the whole push of early sexualization of children and the LGBTQ agenda, all that. But the history, what you said, Paul, about it's like cutting our roots off. And I think of a tree. I think of, it's like an analogy to a tree, that if you cut the roots of the tree, then you kill that tree. And that's like us. You cut our roots off, and that by doing, you know, by erasing our history or changing our history, they are killing our people. Because if we have no roots, we are atomized. We are just, you know, floating around like, you described it very well. And what's the proof that how important it is to us? We know we are in a war and the Jews are really trying to destroy us. And the proof that they are destroying and us by changing our history is that they criminalize us for questioning what they have taught us about history. And I know about that firsthand. And many of our people know about that firsthand. There's so many political prisoners, and that political prisoner means you're disagreeing with what they're telling us. So with that, back to you, Paul.
I don't think we can emphasize the importance of history strongly enough. Within the family, it's important to learn about your ancestors on a real personal basis, well, know who you are. What did my parents do? What about my grandparents? How did we end up in this part of the country? Or what's the, you know, there's a lot of richness and, you know, shared within a family, memories that only, you know, the family has. But it's very enriching. It helps establish, you know, who you are as opposed to the person next door. In a larger sense, it's the same thing about history. Why should you know? I think we should all be proud of who we are, and I don't begrudge any other people or country to be proud of who we are, accomplished, and that makes you stronger. It also, from the point of view of the immigration invasion, is really important. If we really have no good history, then why would we want to preserve Canada or the United States as basically a European country? The U.S. was, and so is Canada. The European founding separate people of the United States and Canada, it's already in what I said, they're European. It wasn't a mishmash. It wasn't a bit of this, that, t'other, and which. It was white people who built the United States and who built Canada. We recognize a few contributions by some others as well, but these are essentially European countries. Well, if you denigrate our history, or either just flush it away, the way some people are trying to do in many parts of Canada, or even worse, replace it with something else, then the person might get the idea, well, look, what's worth preserving? We don't have any history, or if we do, it's all rotten. Well, you know, then come one, come all, we're not worth saving. And that's what I think they're afraid of, you know, as opposition grows to.
I hear the music, Mr. Fromm. We got to go to the first break of the second hour. Okay. More time flies by when you're having fun. So, listening to the Blood River Radio program, people, Saturday, August 31st, 2024. We'll be right back.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Patriots, faith leaders, sheriffs, this is your call to action. The Foundation for Freedom Conference is coming to Orlando September 6th and 7th at the Rosenshingle Creek Hotel. Learn how counties across America are pushing back against government overreach and protecting constitutional rights. Featuring top constitutional attorneys and sheriffs who stood firm during the COVID crisis. Visit foundationforfreedom.us and register today. Together, we can restore our nation. God bless America.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio program. And without any further delay, we're going to go straight back to Mr. Paul Fromm and let him continue his excellent commentary and analysis of the discussion and the things that we're talking about today on the program. Go ahead, Mr. Fromm.
Yeah, another thing that's important in history, in the history of a people, or even the history of a family, is to have people that you look up to as role models or as heroes or heroines. Well, what the cultural Marxists have been doing is to run down our history. All the people that an earlier generation saw as heroes now turn out to be, you know, the usual thing. Slave owners or racists or anti-Semites or bad guys, never in a context. Well, okay, you got rid of all your heroes, then what do you have?
Oh, I just got to interject there. Yeah, exactly right what you're saying, Paul. And what they do give us for role models are always people of other races now. Isn't that correct? Like the heroes are now, you know, they're the black people or the people from just other culture or the Aboriginal people, the native people of North America. They're the heroes. It's pretty much 24/7 on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation all about, you know, how in tune they are with nature and how wonderful they are and how creative they are. I mean, that's our new role models, Paul. Back to you.
Yes. And you know, without heroes or role models, you know, we're really, to a certain extent, lost. Or as you, Monica points out, we're still, if the heroes and role models are of other people, it gives the impression, well, we're worthless. We never had any heroes. All the people we once thought were heroes are turned out to be, you know, evil people. We have to reclaim that. That's why I was so incensed when I saw that. Well, they actually buried this sculpture of Christopher Columbus. Buried. You know, I mean, this is really sick.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. I just thought at first you said they just put it deep in the forest where nobody goes, but they actually buried it. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it had to be uncovered. You know, almost like a piece of our archaeology. And the thing is, though, we have so many inspiring men and women in our history. You know, it's also we have a lack of role models, people who have been inventive, sacrificed to. We've got a man in Canada who is almost entirely forgotten, except in the literature my group sells, a man by the name of William Hopkinson. His story can be turned into a movie or a TV series. He was an undercover agent for three different governments. He was born in British India, and he came to North America, the Canada, the West Coast of Canada. He worked for what was then the Canadian Department of Immigration. He also worked for the U.S. Department of Immigration and for the British. And he infiltrated some of the radical Sikh groups that were trying to overthrow India and were also causing trouble in Canada. And, you know, to make a long story short, he ran a number of agents because he could speak a number of the Indian languages. I mean, Indian from India. He could adopt disguises. And his testimony led to the conviction of a number of prominent Sikh radicals. And on the steps of what's now the library in downtown Vancouver, but it was then the courthouse, he was shot to death by a radical Sikh in the late spring of 1914. And that radical Sikh, his assassin, Mula Singh, is honored, his portrait is honored in many of the Sikh gurdwaras or temples in Vancouver today. Now, they honor an assassin. We have largely forgotten William Hopkinson. Older people said, oh, Canadian history is dull. Well, it's not dull. The life of William Hopkinson, as I say, would make a great movie. He was a real, secret agent man.
Paul, what you just said about, Canadian history is dull. That is kind of a meme that was pushed into our subconscious. I'm not sure where it came from. It floated around because I remember, you know, feeling that or thinking that or hearing it anyway, just hearing it. And it's like, wow, is that part of this thing of, you know, we're worthless, our own history is not interesting until others come into it, others meaning people of other races and whatnot, because we're just boring, there's nothing to really like about us, we're guilty for everything, and you know, it's just, we have no heroes, we have no role models, nobody interesting. Like, thank you for telling us about this. I forgot the first name, at Hopkins. Like, I didn't know about him.
Hopkinson.
See, that, yeah. They don't teach us about those people in schools or whatever, universities. You know, I'll just add one more thing before passing it back to you. A few years ago, a good friend of mine, she showed me the social studies curriculum for her grade 11, her son in grade 11 that year. And so the curriculum is like a 2-page summary of what they're going to do that year. I read that and I wrote her back and I said, wow, if every single student doesn't commit suicide by the end of the year, I'd be surprised. I mean, the white students, because it was all about guilt and bad stuff. And there wasn't a single, even a hint about anything about, you know, maybe, you know, our richness of our culture or anything good. No, it was all about colonialism and slavery and oppression of other people and racism and all. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Go ahead, yeah, back to you.
This is absolute poison. Another story, you might have remembered it from social studies when you went to school. It's now, as far as I can tell, completely purged out of school, except in the province of Quebec. But there was a young man, I think in his late teens, Dollard Desarmaux, and a small number of other young guys, and I think a woman, coming down the auto, going to attack Montreal. They built a small fort, and they laid an ambush on the Iroquois. Now, they put up such a fight that although they were all killed, the Iroquois fought better than they thought. Well, look, if this is what their advanced party can do, what's going to happen if we get to Montreal? In fact, the defenses in Montreal were pathetically weak. But this young guy, as far as I can remember, they're all teenagers. These young people, tremendous courage and self-sacrifice, they saved their people. So history isn't only about old geezers and so on. There's great stuff that can inspire people.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I'm just sitting here thinking and listening to y'all's comments. You know, as far as role models, you know, most of our role models at this present time comes from the sports world. Which, in my opinion, the whole ESPN sports deal is run by Jews. But I tell you, and it just come across my mind sitting here, who a real role model and a hero would be to me today, if we had one man, a couple of men, good leaders that would stand up and say, we going over there, we going to sit down and we going to talk with these Russians before the whole planet gets blown to pieces. Because most people, I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail, y'all, but we are so close to really bad nuclear war, and most people don't have a clue, but we're right on the edge of it. The West keeps pushing these Russians, and like I said, I hate to kind of get off topic, but that would be a hero in my mind. Somebody that would go over there, sit down with Mr. Putin and say, let's work this out, whatever it takes before we destroy the whole planet. I'm sorry.
I think there's one man who might do that, and that's Donald Trump.
I hope you're right.
Because he's been warning that, you know, we are on the brink of nuclear war. And that's not, that would be catastrophic. If those missiles start flying, even just in the low, you know, in just even a limited tactical sense, it's going to be really bad.
And I think, Mr. Fromm, it's only one reason they haven't already started flying, and it's because of the Russian restraint. I may be wrong, but they seem like to me that they have really took a lot over the last couple of years from the Ukraine, the United States, Great Britain, the West, all openly supplying them with these ammunitions. Anyway, I hear the music, y'all. We got to go to a break. You listen to the Blood River Radio program. This is the bottom hour of the break. We'll be right back, people. Hang on.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer: Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
A video reportedly showing armed members of a Venezuelan gang inside an apartment complex in Colorado sparking tremendous anger on social media.
This week, video went viral showing illegals carrying pistols and rifles through the halls of an apartment complex in Aurora, which is a suburb near Denver. According to reports, the guys are members of a dangerous Venezuelan street gang. Reports say that the members have taken over several apartment buildings, going unit to unit, telling residents to give them the rent money instead of sending it to the owners of the building.
That is correspondent Tayshia Stevens. U.S. authorities say arrests for illegal border crossings from Mexico during August are expected to rise slightly from July. Customs and Border Protection officials say they expect about 58,000 total for the month. That would be up from about 56,000 in July. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. In South Africa's richest area, mother-to-baby HIV transmission is a concern, despite free prevention. Correspondent Ron Taylor has the latest on this story.
It's a worrying question for health officials in one of the richest and most developed areas of the African continent. Why are babies being born with HIV when free medication is available to prevent mother-to-child transmission? In the first half of this year, 232 babies were born with HIV in South Africa's Gauteng region, which includes Johannesburg and the capital of Pretoria, and is home to at least 15 million people. Pregnant women in South Africa can access HIV testing and antiretroviral therapy free of charge from health facilities. Alarmed health officials believe even one case of mother-to-child HIV transmission is too many. Ron Taylor reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. hail victory.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio program. Before we continue with our guests, I wanted to mention real quickly, just take a couple of minutes maybe. I think this is the second anniversary of the kidnapping, rape, and murder of Eliza Fletcher there in Memphis. Yesterday, they had the 8-mile memorial run for her. It started about 4 a.m. in Midtown, and it ended up at the exact spot where the Negro abducted her, put her in a vehicle, took her to an abandoned house, and tortured this innocent young lady, raped her, and that wasn't good enough. He killed her. So this is the second year. From reports, there were hundreds, maybe even a couple of thousand or so that attended. And of course, it was pretty much a 99.9% white crowd. Not many blacks in Memphis showed up for the memorial for Eliza Fletcher. Now, just to mention her abductor, and he's got a weird name. It's Caretha Obston. And I just want to mention a little bit about him. You know, he was already out on bail for a crime. And since he's been in jail after killing Eliza Fletcher, he was convicted on April 12, 2024 of aggravated rape, aggravated kidnapping, and possession of a weapon in the commission of a felony in a widely publicized 2021 case. So why is this thing still eating taxpayers' groceries? Why is he still in an air-conditioned jail? Why is he still breathing God's air? The Bible says for people that does things like this heathen animal did to these, not just one lady, but two ladies. The Bible, the best that I understand it, says send them on up there to him and let to our Father and let him take care of them. And then that's one thing that's wrong with this country is there's no deterrence for crimes like this. And these heathens think that they can just attack innocent white women and get away with it and continue living, because they don't mind living the rest of their lives in a comfortable jail. They okay with that. But anyway, I wanted to mention that. I know Eddie's a runner, and this girl, this young lady was a runner. And I just wanted to bring that up and kind of give her a mention on the second anniversary of her murder. And without any more of that, Brother Farm, if you want to continue, sir, you go right ahead. Take it any way you want to go.
Yeah, there's we being betrayed by our leaders in Canada, the United States, and most countries in Western Europe, who have allowed, in fact, engineered a massive third world invasion. And you make no mistake about it, the purpose of that is to replace us, to replace us. And but they can't do it fast enough. I ran into a case recently in British Columbia, the Burnaby, which is a suburb of Vancouver, Burnaby Public Library. The chief librarian had decided that for senior positions at the library, they will not hire white people. No, not at all. It doesn't matter the qualifications. They will not hire white people. And they've had 80 five, I think, applications in the last 3 years for some of the senior positions from white people. They have all been ignored. They won't even be looked at. And this woman's white. This is not a colored woman doing this. This is a white person who so hates our people that she wants to assist in their being replaced. And so the attack on us is not just the numbers coming in, but the active effort of the traitors at the top of our society to take away our jobs. Now, you know, America has suffered under this longer than Canada. You began to have affirmative action back in the mid-1960s, which means unqualified blacks, or usually it's blacks, get jobs or get admission to universities over qualified whites. It's a way to take to diminish our future, not just to replace us. That's bad enough. But to diminish our future, and I don't like to throw around overblown terms, but I can't think of another word for that but treason.
Yep.
And where it comes from is this incessant re-education that our people have been subjected to for not just years, not just decades, but even longer than that. Like this. Who was it? Israel Cohen in 1913 said that, you know, we will raise the position of the blacks and also instill in them a hatred for the whites, but we'll promote them in the sports and professions and then guilt complex, like put the guilt onto the whites for everything. And of course, the education system was taken over, I think, by, you know, the Rockefeller / Rothschild, you know, foundation, I would say. Like, the whole system has been hijacked. The whole education system has been hijacked for generations now. And so the people have been so miseducated and disinformed and deceived about our history, so that, like you say, Paul, that Burnaby librarian, she's white herself. Like, as far as you know, she's not Jewish. She's white, right?
I don't absolutely know she's not Jewish, but she's certainly not colored. She's not Chinese. She's not East Indian. She's not black. So I'll say she probably is a white person, and she's doing this to her own. I mean, that's horrible. It's like a parent selling their child into slavery.
Yeah, basically our people have been made to hate ourselves. And, you know, you talked about that earlier in terms of, you know, destroying our knowledge and understanding of our own culture, making us hate our own ancestors and just separating us from our roots. And so then you have our own people dissing us because we're just useless and bad anyway, right? That's the notion. And I come across people like that all the time. White people, people of European ancestry who are embarrassed to be European. It used to be just the Germans who were embarrassed to be Germans and hated themselves. And you still hear them sometimes in, you know, talking about, oh, I'm so embarrassed to be a German. And now it's the whole white race that this has been done to, although this is changing. I mean, it's becoming apparent to even what I would call normies, you know, people who haven't yet woken up about all the lies that they've taught us about history, that they feel and see that there is such an outright war on white people in every which way, and they're getting tired of it. So, I mean, there's a real mix out there of how people are taking this, you know. Back to you.
But I'd like to say just real quick, Monica, sorry, Mr. Fromm, I agree with you, Monica. I think a lot of people are realizing and maybe seeing through the deceivableness that's going on, but still they won't voice it. They are still silent about it. They just don't say anything. So anyway, that's just something.
Yeah, they're too afraid. They're too afraid to say anything, aren't they? Like they've been just beaten into submission by this quote unquote political correctness, and you know, getting just slammed if you say one word that might be the wrong vocabulary to use, or you know, that kind of thing. Like we've become so bamboozled and atomized with what words are you even allowed to use? You know, so yeah.
Right.
Back to you.
Well, I was at a public meeting earlier this week, and most public meetings in Canada.
Okay, I hear the music, y'all. Gosh, dog, it's the last, we're going into our final break of the second hour. We'll be right back with the last segment of the second hour of the Blood River Radio program. Hang in there, people. We'll be right back.
Calling all patriots, faith-based leaders, sheriffs, and elected officials, it's time to stand up for our Constitution and protect our God-given rights. Join us at the Foundation for Freedom Conference at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel on September 6th and 7th. Hear from national speakers who've successfully fought against unconstitutional government overreach. Be inspired by constitutional attorneys, sheriffs, and more. Foundationforfreedom.us to register now. God bless America. See you in Orlando.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band waves.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio program. I tell you, there's just something about that little sound bit there of CCR that kind of gets you in the spirit, so to speak. But without any further ado for me, we're going to go right back. This is our last segment of the second hour. We're going to go right back to Brother Paul Fromm, and he has another little alley that he's going to take us down. Go ahead, Brother Fromm.
Yes, for the last few years in Canada, the procedure for most public meetings, like a boards of education or library boards or city council, and even some business, shareholders meetings, and it goes something like this. We meet tonight on the unceded territory of the Blackfeet Indians or something, who are the traditional keepers of the land and so on. And in quite often, there isn't a word of truth there. A few years ago, a writer for one of our major magazines was at a meeting up in Kitchener, Waterloo, which is kind of 60 miles northwest of Toronto. And the meeting began like that. We're sitting on me tonight on the unceded traditional territory of, I think it was in this case the what they call the Six Nations Confederacy. Okay, it turns out every bit of that was incorrect. First of all, the Six Nations, the Mohawks under Chief Brant fought with the British in the American War of Independence. And at the end of the war, of course, they wouldn't be welcome back in their traditional lands, which was on the south shore of Lake Ontario. So the British brought them up to Canada with their slaves, incidentally, and granted them a strip of land along the Grand River, which is sort of in central Ontario. Okay, so this was not their traditional territory. They came up in the 1780s. Okay, well, how did the British governor, Haldimand, General Haldimand, get that land? Well, he bought it. He didn't steal it. He bought it from a tribe of Indians, and I forget their name, but they had it, and it was purchased fair and square. Well, how did they get it? Well, I'll tell you what. Before them, back around 400 years ago, there was a tribe of Indians in the area called the Neutrals. This other tribe massacred them. They genocided them, and they took their land. So if you're sitting in the audience, you would get the feeling that somehow or other, we white people ripped off the poor natives, and this was really their land, and they were stewards of the land, and we're just a nasty bunch of bastards. You know, nothing was could be further from the truth. And yet you get this drumbeat of guilt, you know, year after year. And I think it's just poisoning the soul of people, and for no reason other than manipulation. You're not guilty. In fact, if I could instill one thing in white people, it would be get rid of the guilt. You should have as your banner. Guilty no more.
Guilty. Paul. Yeah, that's a very important point. The guilt. Because we do have empathy, and boy, oh boy, have our enemies ever used that against us. You know, and anyway, you know, there's a couple of points I want to make to what you just said. One is that there are greater ramifications to that declaration that is often made at the beginning of a public meeting. It's not just, oh, feel good, you know, we're just paying tribute to these people. No, there are legal ramifications to this, because these are official meetings. These are meetings that take minutes. These will go into the archives. This declaration is a form of, you're providing evidence to those who wish to dispossess us of our land, of our properties. And so, you know, there's this Bill C-15, which Paul, you, I'm sure, know all about it. And it's about that UNDRIP, which is the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And boy, we could talk for a long time even just about that alone. They don't really define Indigenous peoples. We could have perhaps, you know, Indigenous peoples from some other country even come here and declare that, because it's not defined who are the Indigenous people, all that. So that's, there are legal ramifications. There's a fellow, Ron Valent, who is really up on all this. And he says that, you know, Vancouver is already basically land that is not legally in the possession anymore of the city of Vancouver, shall we say. It's already been, you know, it's been given over. Like, so when it comes time that they want to dispossess people of their property, that they just say, okay, get out. And you've given us the evidence that you don't own it by declaring it at every single meeting. And the other thing I'd like to respond to is just the little story you gave. Of that's one example of the movement of the different tribes of Indians there. And I didn't know all the details of that history. Thank you for sharing that. But this notion that we are is being drummed into us about the peaceful, noble Indian, that nothing could be further from the truth. They were warring, they were killing each other, they were, you know, taking territory from each other, they were torturing too. I mean, there's a lot of stories of real brutal things that were going on. And some of their brutal things that were going on, it's when the European people came over, they put a stop to some of the brutal things that were going on, including cannibalism. Is that not correct? Back to you.
Oh, yes. The history of most, you know, maybe not all, but most North American Indians was in the, you know, the priceless words of Thomas Hobbes. He said that the life of primitive man was mean, nasty, brutish, and short. They regularly warred with each other. Quite often, you know, the winning tribe would basically have wiped out the other tribe if they were small. The men would be, if not killed, would then be tortured. The women and children kept as slaves or just basically absorbed into the tribe. There was regular genocide, so we've got that on the historical record. And archaeology backs that up. Also, on this business of they were the stewards of the land. Oh yeah, that thing, that's one of the things I heard at a meeting up in Ottawa. They were the stewards of the land. Well, they weren't very good at it. And not to say we were perfect either. We made a lot of mistakes. We did, you know, we created pollution and so on. But with the very, very primitive weapons, people who are able to do animal archaeology discovered that the Native Indians, few as they were on the plains, wiped out a lot of the really big. I forgot their exact name, but the big deer. You know, I mean, they were.
Are
not
we talking about mammoth? Are we talking about mammoth?
No. This is long after that.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, they weren't gentle hippies. You know, the images of just gentle hippies who were
right.
We don't have to hold them up to great admiration while, you know, flogging ourselves as, you know, dreadful people.
You know, Paul, I do tune into the CBC quite a bit just for research purposes, because I realize it's, you know, they're really distorting and lying and it's no good, but for research purposes. And what I've noticed lately is more and more programming that is geared towards lifting the Indians up, I mean, the Aboriginal people, whatever you want to call them, the Native North Americans, as they call themselves, lifting them up, making them noble, making them, you know, like you say, stewards of the land, always, oh, they're so in tune with nature, all those things. And if they're not doing that, they're also putting us down. That's what their programming is like, pretty much 100% these days, you know, unless, oh, maybe they're talking the other time that they're not talking about that, the Native people is talking about climate change. And again, we're responsible for everything evil. And of course, that's another lie anyway, the whole climate change. So it's just, yeah, that's the programming. Back to you.
I'd like to just say real quick, sorry, Brother Palmer, I'd like to say real quick, about everything that we talked about here in the last 2 hours has really boiled down to white genocide. And and just like Eliza Fletcher, I mean, that murder of Eliza Fletcher is a figurehead of white genocide in the Western nations. And I know, I hear the music coming. Brother Palmer, it's been a pleasure having you on. It's been an excellent 2 hours. I'm sure that Brother Eddie, I'll have you back real, real soon. Everybody,
well,
hang on.
It was great to be on with Sister Monica and yourself. It was a great show, and I hope to be back soon.
Yes, sir. Hope so.
Okay.
All right, people,
thank you, Paul.
Take a break, long break. We'll be right back with a bitter ender in the third hour of the Blood River Radio program. See you then.